tribalism and cultural expression.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Kansas City Monarchs, presenting the return of the KC Blues and Jazz Festival, October 3rd and 4th at Legends Field, featuring Stanley Clark and more. Event details at monarchsbaseball.com.
It's 87 degrees on the KU campus in Lawrence, 86 in Manhattan. It's 6:06.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas Tree Care, local arborists who provide professional tree care in the greater Lawrence area and who can be reached at kansastreecare.com or at 785-843-TREE.
Thanks for spending part of your day with us here at KPR. Still to come this evening, news headlines at 6:30. Then we will get you the details, or at least what we know right now, about Hamas agreeing to release hostages, all of the hostages that they had taken. This includes the hostages currently living and the hostages who have perished under their auspices, I guess is the word I'm looking for. Also, we will tell you all about H-1B visas. We'll tell you about Sean Combs being sentenced to prison. It's all coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Green Lady Lounge is located at 1809 Grand Boulevard, Kansas City. Information at greenladylounge.com.
KPR has been able to expand its news coverage because of support from more than 5,000 listeners just like you. Our reporting matters so much to our members, they're willing to send in 10 or 20 or even more dollars per month to ensure that the service continues to grow. Your support truly does matter to KPR. If you'd like to become a member, visit our website, kansaspublicradio.org, today. Lows in the mid-60s tonight, highs in the mid-80s tomorrow. It's 87 degrees in Lawrence, and the time is 6:20.
If you're fed up with swiping on dating apps, a tiny town in Ireland offers an old-fashioned solution for finding love.
My sister met her husband here. My best friend met her husband here. I did meet somebody that was in my life for a while here.
We hear from the Hopeful Hearts at Europe's largest matchmaking festival. I'm Andrew Limbong, and that's on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Tune in tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock on your KPR stations for Weekend All Things Considered.
Support for KPR comes from the Folly Theater, presenting the Pete Escovedo 90th Birthday Celebration, featuring Pete Escovedo and his orchestra, Saturday, October 4th, 7:30 p.m. Information at follytheater.org.
Stick around. News headlines coming up next. It's 87 degrees in Lawrence, and it's 6:30.
Very close to Venezuelan territory on Thursday.
Es una amenaza contra la seguridad de la nación.
This is a threat against the security of the nation, he said. Ader Peralta, NPR News, Mexico City.
And you're listening to NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Black Hills Energy and three of its subsidiaries have agreed to pay more than $300,000 to settle a complaint over alleged violations of the Kansas Consumer Protections Act. The Kansas Attorney General's office accused the energy company of sharing consumer-sensitive data with third parties without their knowledge or consent. Under the agreement, the company will pay the Attorney General's office $325,000 for consumer protection enforcement and reimbursement of expenses associated with the investigation. KSNT reports Black Hills Energy does not admit to the allegations put forward as part of the consent agreement. Kansas welfare advocates told Garden City residents facing food insecurity that it may become harder to buy groceries because of the Trump administration's actions. Kansas Appleseed is traveling to rural parts of the state to explain how the federal law will affect local families. Along with tax cuts, the bill also cut funding for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. Haley Kotler of Kansas Appleseed says lawmakers will need to increase state funding by $60 million a year to provide the same level of support. She says if that does not come, local welfare efforts like food banks may struggle to pick up the slack.
We know that our food banks, food pantries will be providing more service, but they are going to struggle too, because if they're putting out more food, they're going to need more money coming in too.
Food assistance deliveries in western Kansas were delayed this summer because of federal budget cuts. While Kansas lawmakers struggle to come up with solutions to the state's shortage of nurses, hospital administrators are warning against moving patients from state hospitals to community hospitals. The shortage of nurses in the state's psychiatric hospitals is so severe that the state is paying contractors $60 million a year just to keep them staffed. One solution would be to move some patients into community hospitals, but the Kansas Hospital Association says those hospitals are not equipped to receive those patients. WIBW-TV reports a recent survey found 80% of community hospitals lacked adequate facilities for treating patients with mental or behavioral health issues. It's 6:35.
Support for NPR.
All things considered from NPR News.
Get caught up.
We are learning new information this morning about the lengthy...
Take a step back.
All right, what's really going on here?
And prepare for what's ahead.
Are you expecting a breakthrough this week?
Stay on top of the news with Morning Edition from NPR News every weekday.
You can hear Morning Edition from 5 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday on your KPR stations. We have lost all of our federal funding, but we're going to do it as long as we can, thanks to listeners just like you. If you'd like to make a pledge of financial support to help keep that going, just visit our website, kansaspublicradio.org. This is KPR, service of the University of Kansas, broadcasting at 91.5 FM in Lawrence and 96.1 FM in Lawrence, with many other frequencies all around the state, at the aforementioned website, kansaspublicradio.org, and via app. We have a KPR app for iOS and for Android.
Support for KPR comes from the Folly Theater, presenting the Pete Escovedo 90th Birthday Celebration, featuring Pete Escovedo and his orchestra, Saturday, October 4th, 7:30 p.m. Information at follytheater.org.
Up next on your KPR One stations, we will have news headlines, followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of Film Music Friday, tonight focusing on the music of Hans Zimmer. If you're joining us on KPR 2, up next is Snap Judgment.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Arts Center, presenting Runway and Rhythm, a designer fashion showcase and dance party, Saturday, October 4th. VIP and general admission event details at lawrenceartscenter.org.
Lows in the mid-60s tonight, highs in the mid-80s tomorrow. It's 86 degrees in Lawrence at 10 minutes before 7.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from Arm, committed to delivering innovative, advanced computing designed to enable worldwide companies to unleash the capabilities and experiences of AI. The future of AI is built on Arm, Arm.com. From EasyCater, committed to helping organizations order and manage food for all their business needs. With online ordering from restaurants nationwide, employee meal programs, and tools to control food expenses, at EasyCater.com. And from Progressive Insurance, Progressive is looking for individuals in a variety of career fields who want to help build a culture of inclusiveness. More information, including application, at Progressive.com/careers.
Running late in the morning? It happens. You can still start your day feeling pulled together. Listen to Morning Edition from NPR News every weekday.
You can hear Morning Edition from 5 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday on your KPR stations. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU, and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3. KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from LMH Health's new cancer center, offering cancer clinical trials and comprehensive treatment options, all under one roof. More information is available at lmh.org/cancercare.
Why are we listening to Hans Zimmer? Well, I'll tell you, because coming up next, we'll have news headlines followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of Film Music Friday, focusing on the work of Hans Zimmer, composer of this theme from the Pirates of the Caribbean, and many, many more. One of the most prolific film composers working today. It's all coming up here on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Public Library, offering the New York Times and Washington Post online, Ancestry.com, and more. All available with a library card. Card information at lplks.org.
Clear skies tonight with a low in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the mid-80s. Down to the lower 60s tomorrow night. This mini heat wave should break sometime early in the next work week. It's 7:01, and the news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. On day three of the government's shutdown, Democrats again refused to sign on to a Republican effort to temporarily fund the government at current levels. Democrats are demanding an extension of subsidies for Affordable Care Act health plans. Meanwhile, the Trump administration is identifying federal programs to scale back during the shutdown, as NPR's Franco Ordonez explains.
I mean, a lot of it comes down to Russ Vogt. He's the director of the Office of Management and Budget. And some of our listeners will remember him as one of the key architects of the controversial Project 2025. You know, he has long advocated for a much more muscular OMB, a much more muscular White House that really acts more in an activist way of cutting spending and overhauling the federal government. And now that he's in office, you know, he's really taking that to heart.
NPR's Franco Ordonez reporting. A new poll published today finds that a large majority of the public thinks Congress should extend subsidies for the Affordable Care Act health plans, as NPR's Selena Simmons-Duffin reports.
More than three-quarters of people across the political spectrum say Congress should extend the enhanced ACA tax credits that are set to expire at the end of the year. That's according to a poll from KFF, the nonpartisan health research organization. It also found most Republicans support extending the subsidies. Ashley Kurzinger of KFF says people who have these plans are worried about their rates doubling.
7 in 10 say they wouldn't be able to afford that coverage, and 4 in 10 said that means that they would go without health insurance coverage in 2026.
The Congressional Budget Office estimates millions of people will become uninsured if the subsidies aren't extended. Selena Simmons-Duffin, NPR News, Washington.
Once again, the U.S. Supreme Court has allowed the Trump administration to get rid of temporary protections for hundreds of thousands of Venezuelan migrants. NPR's Sergio Martinez-Beltran reports.
In a 6-3 ruling, Supreme Court justices sided with the Trump administration and said it can take away the temporary protected status from Venezuelans in the U.S. This while the case continues to be litigated. The decision is expected to affect more than 300,000 Venezuelans who have been in a legal limbo since earlier this year when the administration moved to end TPS for them. Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem has said Venezuela no longer meets the conditions for TPS and that the designation would be, quote, contrary to the national interest. This latest ruling means the Venezuelans are now subject to deportation. Sergio Martinez Beltran, NPR News, Austin.
Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney will visit the White House next week. The meeting comes amid trade negotiations, and Trump once again says he wants to make Canada the 51st U.S. state. From Washington, this is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, supporting creative people and effective institutions committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information is at macfound.org. From the University of Kansas, this is your place to find NPR News. Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate October 3rd. Scientists don't know what dark matter is, but they have some ideas of what it isn't. And they took a big step in ruling out some possibilities with the release of a study last year. Dark matter produces no energy, the reason it's described as dark. But we know it's there because its gravity pulls on the visible matter around it. In fact, it appears to make up about 85% of all the matter in the universe. The leading idea says dark matter consists of some kind of subatomic particle. A top candidate is called a WIMP, a weakly interacting massive particle. Although dark matter almost never interacts with normal matter, it might occasionally do so, ramming into the nucleus of a normal atom. That would produce a tiny spark of light, which detectors might see. One experiment is a Lux Zeppelin. It's in a former gold mine, almost a mile below the town of Lead, South Dakota. The rock above it blocks other types of particles from reaching the experiment. Its detectors are inside a vat filled with about 8,000 tons of liquid xenon. The hope is that a WIMP will hit a xenon molecule and trigger that spark of light. Project scientists conducted 280 days of observations, and they didn't find any indication of WIMPs. But their test was the most sensitive yet for certain types of WIMPs, so the experiment rules out some candidate particles, narrowing the possibilities for dark matter. You can find more astronomy news in Stardate magazine. Subscription information at stardate.org. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
There's music by Hans Zimmer for Driving Miss Daisy here on KPR's Film Music Friday. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Welcome to the show where we celebrate music from movies every week. And tonight, we're hearing the work of composer Hans Zimmer, one of the most successful and prolific composers working in films today. In a movie career of just over 30 years, he scored more than 100 films. He's been nominated 11 times for an Academy Award, winning an Oscar in 1994 for The Lion King, plus 4 Grammy Awards, and he's provided the music for some of the most popular films of the last 4 decades. British media named him to the list of the top 100 living geniuses. Later in this hour, Zimmer's music for films like Sherlock Holmes and The Da Vinci Code, among others. Hans Florian Zimmer was born in West Germany. He briefly took piano lessons at an early age, but that didn't last very long. He's mostly a self-taught musician who spent the late 70s and early 80s playing in new wave bands like The Buggles and Chrisma. In the 1980s, he began writing jingles for TV commercials and, in partnership with composer Stanley Myers, contributed to the scores of numerous films, often blending the traditional orchestral sound with electronic instruments. An opportunity to write the music for Rain Man in 1988 was a turning point in Zimmer's career and led to further films like Thelma and Louise, The Lion King, for which he got the Oscar, and Crimson Tide. One of his most acclaimed scores was for The Thin Red Line in 1998, about a key battle in the Guadalcanal campaign in the South Pacific during World War II. There's a 9-minute cue that Zimmer wrote for the film's climax. It was so memorable, it's been reused many times in movie trailers and video games. This is Journey to the Line by Hans Zimmer, music from The Thin Red Line on KPR's Film Music Friday. Thank you. Journey to the Line, music by Hans Zimmer for The Thin Red Line, here on KPR. You know, in Hollywood, this tune is known as the Forbidden Cue because of its frequent use in TV, movie trailers, and video games. Besides that, filmmakers often use it as a temp track, used in films during the editing stage, before the music for the film has been written, as a sort of placeholder. It's said that Hans Zimmer has forbidden his own staff from using this piece as temp music in any of the films he's working on, lest he be asked yet again to recreate it. This is Film Music Friday. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Tonight, spotlighting the work of composer Hans Zimmer. Just ahead, music from not one but two Sherlock Holmes movies featuring a Zimmer score. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from the Folly Theater, presenting the Pete Escovedo 90th Birthday Celebration, featuring Pete Escovedo and his orchestra, on Saturday, October 4th, 7:30 p.m. Information at FollyTheater.org. And the KC Civic Orchestra, presenting works by Stravinsky, Tchaikovsky, Debussy, and Mendelssohn, Sunday, October 12th, 3 p.m. in the Midwest Trust Center. Open to the public, but reservation is required at kccivic.org. From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News and Film Music Friday, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City, and online at kansaspublicradio.org. Music from one of the many animated films for which Hans Zimmer has provided the score. That's a suite from Rango, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. Rango is a chameleon, voiced by Johnny Depp, who finds himself in the town of Dirt, a lawless outpost in the Wild West in desperate need of a new sheriff. You can see where this is going. It won the Oscar for Best Animated Feature of 2011. If it's Friday, this must be Film Music Friday on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Darryl Brogdon. Tonight, Hans Zimmer, one of the most innovative of composers working in films over the last 30 years. And still to come, we'll hear music for The Da Vinci Code. In 2009, Sherlock Holmes was rebooted for the silver screen, this time in the person of Robert Downey Jr. When a string of brutal murders terrorizes London, it doesn't take long for the great detective to track down the killer, who, as it happens, is a devotee of the dark arts and has a bigger scheme in mind. It seems that during the making of Sherlock Holmes, director Guy Ritchie used some of Hans Zimmer's music from The Dark Knight as a temp track, and was so impressed Mr. Z was hired to write the full score for the film. He wanted the sound of what he called a broken pub piano for Sherlock Holmes, and eventually tracked down an old piano that was literally falling apart, which he later recorded in an underground parking garage, where, according to Zimmer, terrible things were done to it. We'll hear some of Hans Zimmer's music for Sherlock Holmes, 2009, along with part of the score for the sequel, Game of Shadows, which came along in 2011, here on Kansas Public Radio. Music for The World's Greatest Detective by Hans Zimmer on KPR. Those are themes from Sherlock Holmes 2009, as well as part of the score from Sherlock Holmes Game of Shadows, which came along 2 years later. I'm Daryl Brogdon. It's Film Music Friday. Thank you very much for spending part of your Friday night here with us. Tonight, it's music by Hans Zimmer. And in the next hour, we'll hear from films like True Romance, The Dark Knight, Pirates of the Caribbean, and Interstellar. That's all upcoming between 8 and 9 tonight. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from KTWU, Channel 11, local public television, where arts, entertainment, educational, and informational programming is offered daily. Details on the web at ktwu.org. KTWU, Channel 11, local public television. See, if you miss our Friday night broadcast, not to worry. You can always listen to Film Music Friday on demand at the KPR website. For more information about all the ways to hear KPR, just visit kansaspublicradio.org. The Stained Glass Cathedral Sound of the Da Vinci Code by Hans Zimmer on KPR. This is, of course, based on Dan Brown's bestseller, starring Tom Hanks as Robert Langdon. You're listening to Film Music Friday, where every week we listen to great film music and composers. Tonight, Hans Zimmer is in our spotlight. And after the news, music from Batman movies, Interstellar, Pirates of the Caribbean, and more. KPR is KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, KANQ Chanute. Online at kansaspublicradio.org. Support for news on KPR comes from the Midwest Trust Center, presenting Mariachi Garibaldi and Ballet Folklorico del Rio Grande, October 10th, 7:30 p.m. Details at jccc.edu/MTC. The time is a minute past 8 o'clock.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Hamas says it's accepted some elements of Trump's 20-point plan to end Israel's war in Gaza, including giving up power and releasing all remaining hostages, but that other details require further discussion. As NPR's Aya Batraoui explains, questions still need to be answered about the deal.
Example would be troop withdrawal. When would Israel withdraw its troops? The disarmament of Hamas, would Hamas be storing its weapons, giving up its weapons? How and when would that happen? How about the deployment of Arab forces into Gaza? Egypt says it's ready to do that, to help with that, but they need a clear mandate for those forces and they need a UN Security Council resolution. There's also a board that would be governing Gaza that would essentially be chaired by President Trump himself. But what role would Palestinians have in actually, you know, implementing their own governance in Gaza? So all of these are questions that are still going to have to be negotiated, and Hamas wants to be at the table for that.
NPR's Aya Batraoui reporting. President Trump and his budget director, Russell Vogt, say the government shutdown has given them an opportunity to cut programs they don't like and order mass layoffs. Some federal workers point out the administration's already doing that. NPR's Andrea Hsu reports.
Even before the shutdown, the National Institutes of Health had gone through mass layoffs and seen the cancellation of hundreds of research grants. Those moves have been challenged in court, but for now, the Supreme Court has allowed them to stand. Mark Heisted, a brain scientist with NIH, is part of a coalition of civil servants who say the president is overstepping his power. Heisted spoke in his personal capacity.
Trump, with Russell Vogt, has been taking this power, seizing this power from Congress, and ignoring the Constitution.
The White House argues the Constitution gives the president the power to run the executive branch as he sees fit. So far, the conservative majority on the Supreme Court largely appears to back that view. Andrea Hsu, NPR News.
Hip-hop mogul Sean Diddy Combs has been sentenced to 50 months in prison. Combs was convicted in July on two counts of transportation for prostitution, as NPR's Isabella Gomez-Sarmiento reports.
Federal Judge Arun Subramanian sentenced Sean Combs to over 4 years in prison, citing his history of physical and emotional abuse. Earlier this summer, a federal jury acquitted Sean Combs of sex trafficking and racketeering, the most serious charges that he faced. But he was found guilty of transporting two of his ex-girlfriends across state lines to engage in prostitution with male escorts. Much of the trial centered on how Combs used power, violence, and manipulation to coerce the women into those acts. While delivering his sentence, Judge Subramanian told Combs that the harm he caused those women cannot simply be washed away, and there must be meaningful accountability for the abuse. Isabella Gomez-Sarmiento, NPR News.
A Spanish-language journalist in a Georgia immigration detention center since June was deported to El Salvador today. Mario Guevara was covering a protest outside Atlanta when police arrested him. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Lummelson Foundation, dedicated to improving lives through invention, innovation, and climate action. From the University of Kansas, your place to find NPR News and Film Music Friday is Kansas Public Radio. There's a tune called You're So Cool, and it comes from True Romance, a romantic crime thriller made in 1993, directed by Tony Scott, written by Quentin Tarantino, and featuring music by Hans Zimmer. Welcome to Film Music Friday on Kansas Public Radio Stations. I'm Darryl Brogdon, and tonight we're hearing the work of composer Hans Zimmer, whose career in films began in the 80s and has spanned a diverse group of films, from big franchise films like Pirates of the Caribbean and Batman to animated films like The Lion King and Kung Fu Panda, plus superhero epics, video games, documentaries, and TV projects. Later in the hour, Zimmer's controversial music from Interstellar, along with Pirates of the Caribbean and Wonder Woman 1984. In the early 2000s, Hans Zimmer was drawn into Christopher Nolan's trilogy of Batman movies, beginning with Batman Begins, released in 2005. These three films brought a suitably noirish quality to the Batman franchise, which had been written off as toast after the really terrible Batman and Robin, which came out in 1997. For Batman Begins, Zimmer asked composer James Newton Howard to collaborate on this film, and together they created separate themes for the split personality of Bruce Wayne and his alter ego, Batman. They worked together again on the sequel, The Dark Knight, and Zimmer went solo on the last film in the trilogy, The Dark Knight Rises. Here's music from all three of those films, featuring work by Hans Zimmer on KPR. Music by Hans Zimmer from Christopher Nolan's Batman trilogy, Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, and The Dark Knight Rises, made between 2005 and 2012, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. Zimmer has said he wanted to avoid writing music that had been done in earlier Batman films, so the scores kind of became an amalgamation of orchestra and electronic music. Still to come, we'll hear tunes from another epic film franchise, Pirates of the Caribbean, plus music for Wonder Woman. Here's a big thank you to everybody who pledged during our two-day summer membership drive here at KPR, which wrapped up earlier this evening. As you know, Kansas Public Radio has received another budget cut in excess of $200,000, and we have turned to you once again to ask for your support, especially if you're not already a member listener here at KPR, and it's easy to do. Just go online at kansaspublicradio.org and become a member. So thanks again to everybody who's already done that, and if you haven't done it yet but you've been meaning to, now is a great time to do it. Go to kansaspublicradio.org. A team of explorers travel through a wormhole in space in an attempt to ensure the survival of humanity. That's the story of Interstellar, directed by Christopher Nolan, with music by Hans Zimmer. I imagine this is one of the few science fiction films where the science part is more or less accurate, with a few understandable moments of artistic license. For this one, Christopher Nolan chose not to share the script ahead of time with Hans Zimmer. Instead, he provided him with a one-page outline. And it was from that brief synopsis that Zimmer created the first part of the score for Interstellar. This movie was a little controversial at the time, mainly because of the imaginative use of sound and music. Nolan wanted to kind of push the limits of what was then possible in sound design, as well as the capacity of most theater equipment. As a result, some of the dialogue is occasionally drowned out by music or sound, and apparently this was intentional, though it did cause some complaints at the time. It's music by Hans Zimmer on tonight's Film Music Friday. I'm Darryl Brogdon. Before the hour's up, we've got some of Zimmer's score for Wonder Woman, 1984. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, working to address major challenges in disease prevention and treatment, sustainable energy solutions, and more. Information about KU research is at ku.edu. And Pines Garden and Market, promoting Field Day Feast, a farm-to-table dining experience featuring Chef Vaughn Good of Fox and Pearl at Caw Valley Field Day, October 11. Tickets and details at cawvalleyfieldday.com. Well, there are five films in the Pirates of the Caribbean series, beginning in 2003 with Curse of the Black Pearl and continuing to 2017's Dead Men Tell No Tales. Partly inspired by the Disney attraction, these films mix the epic swashbuckler with fantasy elements. So along the way, we're treated to giant sea monsters, the villainous Davy Jones himself, Blackbeard the Pirate, ghosts, even the Bermuda Triangle. Hans Zimmer wrote the music for the three middle films of the series, Dead Man's Chest, At World's End, and On Stranger Tides. When he was first approached to write music for these pirate movies, Zimmer apparently thought it was a terrible idea for a movie. Then he saw some of the footage and changed his mind. Here's music for Pirates of the Caribbean on Kansas Public Radio. On Kansas Public Radio, there's a bit of Hans Zimmer's music for three of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, made between 2006 and 2011. We hear Dead Man's Chest, At World's End, and On Stranger Tides. It's music that's traditional in the grand Hollywood style, but at the same time innovative, imaginative, and adventurous. Zimmer got a Grammy Award in 2007 for his work on Dead Man's Chest. Hans Zimmer continues to be a very prolific composer for films, TV, and video games. Some of his recent work is for movies like Hillbilly Elegy, Dunkirk, Inception, and the next James Bond film. Lastly tonight, here's some of his score for Wonder Woman 1984. This is, of course, the sequel to the immensely successful Wonder Woman film in 2017. I suppose it suffers a little bit from sequel-itis. The critics dinged it for a sometimes confusing plot, random jokes that don't always work, and what one critic called dubious politics. However, Gal Gadot always shines as Wonder Woman and as escapist entertainment. I've seen way worse. Hans Zimmer is no stranger to superheroes, of course, having worked on the Batman films, including Batman vs. Superman, the X-Men, and Spider-Man. And his music for Wonder Woman 1984 is bright, retro, and fun. Here is Themyscira on KPR's Film Music Friday. Hans Zimmer's music for Wonder Woman 1984 here on KPR's Film Music Friday. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Thank you kindly for joining us tonight. Hope you'll come back next week for more great tunes from the movies. Stay tuned next for news from NPR, followed by Jazz in the Night with your host, Bob McWilliams. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from the Winter School, a recently renovated one-room schoolhouse in Lecompton, open to the public for music, art, history, and prairie tour during the Caw Valley Farm Tour on October 4th and 5th. Details at winterschool70.com.
On last week's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Adam Burke had questions about AI allowing pets to testify in court.
Will they allow hostile witnesses? And by hostile witnesses, I mean cats.
I'm Nagin Farsad in for Peter Sagal. Join us as we cross-examine the kingpin himself, actor Vincent D'Onofrio, on this week's News Quiz from NPR.
Do join us for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the News Quiz from NPR. It's tomorrow morning at 10, right after Weekend Edition Saturday, here on KPR. From the University of Kansas, your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News is Kansas Public Radio. We're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, 91.3. And KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or just tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Your donation is the power that keeps KPR independent, public-minded, and focused on you and your community. That's how we provide culture, information, and intelligent entertainment. KPR is everything you make it, and so much more. I know that KPR matters to you. And you know what? Your support matters to KPR. Contribute now at kansaspublicradio.org, and thanks for your support. Up next on Kansas Public Radio, news from NPR, followed by Jazz in the Night, right here, KPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Hopes for a quick end to the government shutdown faded today as both sides dug in their heels. Meanwhile, President Trump is threatening mass layoffs and further cuts across the federal government. Here's Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Rather than working with us to end the pain Americans are feeling because of a shutdown, Republicans have instead, they've wasted a week, refused to talk, and exacerbated pain for America.
Democrats want an extension to health care subsidies. Republicans want to reopen the government, mostly at current spending levels. Speaker Mike Johnson is canceling House votes next week as Republicans pressure Senate Democrats to accept a short-term funding bill and end the shutdown. Democratic governors are pushing back on a White House move to cut clean energy projects in states that did not go to President Trump in last year's election. Minnesota Public Radio's Dana Ferguson reports.
The Energy Department announced that hundreds of projects were reviewed and didn't advance the nation's energy needs. The projects are in 16 states that didn't vote for Trump last year. Minnesota is among them. Governor Tim Walz says the move is politically motivated.
This whole idea that they see states as Democrats and Republicans, or they see areas as red or blue, is simply the most egregious violation of their oath to try and take care. You have a responsibility to give your best for people who vote against you.
The department says award grantees will have 30 days to appeal. For NPR News, I'm Dana Ferguson in St. Paul.
A group of unions, religious organizations, and education professionals is suing the Trump administration over its decision to slap a steep fee on skilled worker visas. NPR's John Ruich has more.
The Trump administration last month said the government will start charging $100,000 for every new H-1B visa that it issues. The visas are used to bring skilled workers into the American economy from abroad. President Trump says the program has been exploited to replace, rather than supplement, American workers. Critics say the new fee will make it harder to fill critical jobs. The lawsuit was filed in federal court in Northern California. It argues that Trump does not have the authority to impose such a fee and asks for it to be blocked. The plaintiffs include unions representing workers and college professors, a nurse staffing agency, and religious organizations. It's the first major legal challenge to the rule change for H-1B visas. John Ruich, NPR News.
Several Democratic state attorneys general say the Trump administration has backed off from requiring cooperation with the president's immigration agenda in exchange for crime victim aid funding. Officials from 20 states in Washington, D.C. had signed on to a lawsuit filed in late August challenging the requirement. The administration threatened to cut money to states that refused to cooperate with federal immigration officials. Most U.S. stocks ticked higher today, sending Wall Street to more records. You're listening to NPR News from Washington. Federal officials will reimburse Florida $608 million for the immigration detention center in the Everglades known as Alligator Alcatraz, but the reimbursement process could force Florida to wind down operations for a second time. In August, a judge ruled the site hadn't been given the proper environmental review as a federal facility, but an appeals court put that ruling on hold because Florida had yet to receive federal money for the project. Israel says it's intercepted all boats that were part of a large flotilla of people trying to deliver food to Gaza. NPR's Emily Fang reports that Israel has begun to deport some of the 400-plus activists it's detained.
Israel says it has deported four Italian citizens so far, and among those detained is Greta Thunberg, the Swedish environmental activist. Israeli media says at least some of the activists are now being held in the notorious Ketziyat prison in the Negev desert. Before that, Israel's far-right National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir entered the holding facility where the activists were detained to berate them as, quote, terrorists. He later wrote on the social media site X that, quote, they must be kept here in an Israeli prison for a few months so they can smell the scent of the terrorists' wing, arguing against deporting the journalists, politicians, and doctors who were among the activists detained. Emily Fang, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
The Association of American Publishers is honoring a Russian publishing house for its fight against censorship. Freedom Letters publishes works by anti-war writers and opponents of President Putin. I'm Ryland Barton. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Lodestar Foundation, inspired by the principle that helping those in need is a path to a happier, healthier, and more meaningful life. Learn more at LodestarFoundation.org. This is NPR.
Again, it's Michael Weiss on Kansas Public Radio opening. Tonight's Jazz in the Night with a little heard Charlie Parker tune, an Oscar for Treadwell that Bird wrote over the I Got Rhythm Changes from pianist Michael Weiss, an album just out a couple of years ago with bassist Paul Sakivi and drummer Pete Van Nostrand. I'm Bob McWilliams and glad to have you with me here on this Friday edition of Jazz in the Night. We're going to be hearing from the new album of sax legend George Coleman with strings. We've also got some gorgeous ballad work from singer Shirley Horn with her special guest Roy Hargrove, and a whole lot more headed your way right now. Pianist Bruce Barth, an album he did called Three Things of Beauty, and this is another piano trio album, except not quite. It's mostly a piano quartet album. Bruce the pianist, bassist Ben Street, drummer Dana Hall, and vibraphonist Steve Nelson. And this is a John Coltrane tune called Big Nick here on KPR. Pianist Bruce Barth and his version of a John Coltrane tune, Big Nick, with vibe of Steve Nelson, Ben Street, and Dana Hall, bass and drums, and album from back in 2012 called Three Things of Beauty from pianist Bruce Barth. In about 15 minutes, we'll head into the vinyl vault for a quintet on Soul Note Records in 1983, led by saxophonist George Adams and the drummer Danny Richmond, longtime Mingus drummer. And up next, we've got tenor saxophonist George Coleman from his new album, George Coleman with Strings. Support for Jazz and the Night on KPR comes from the Dole Institute. Dr. Barbara Ballard and Student Advisory Board alum Jesse Burbank moderate Healthcare in the U.S. Constitution with Harvard Law's I. Glenn Cohen on October 15th at 7 p.m. More at DoleInstitute.org. This month, the KPR Community Spotlight is on Assistance for Immigrants and Refugees, or AIR, A-I-R, a volunteer group sponsoring refugee resettlement in Lawrence and assisting with housing, jobs, social services, and